Welcome back to the Music Industry Podcast. I'm Alex from Burstamo, and this is
Maddie,
also from Burstamo. And this is the Music Industry Podcast, where we give you access to people and information, opinions that wouldn't ordinarily be accessible from people or independent artists outside of the industry. So if you're looking to grow, progress in the music industry, then this is the podcast for you. So we talk about things like Spotify, the news,
TikTok,
a lot of TikTok. So sit back, relax, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome back to the Music Industry Podcast. Today is a bit of a spontaneous episode, which came from last episode, where we were talking about industry trends rather than advice and what artists can be doing to be able to be on the latest trends and taking advantage of those trends to further their career, start getting streams and start getting followers. Obviously, we know that social media is changing a lot. So We brought Sinead in as well, who, if you work with Burstamo, if you're one of our artists, you will know Sinead. She basically, you came in as originally it was digital marketing, and now you essentially run and manage all of the campaigns for our artists. So we thought you're the best person to bring in, as you are literally at the level of working with the artists and being able to know what's working for them and what's not. And in the last episode, we talked about how I personally think that TikTok have kind of messed up. They've put like, you think up to, well, I should have researched this after that podcast, but I still haven't. The length of videos you can put on TikTok, and I think it's destroying the platform.
Yeah.
And I thought, let's talk about what artists can do to be able to start growing and taking advantage. So What's the latest trend in your mind right now which artists can hit?
Do you know what the first thing that came to my mind when you said that? And you'll probably be able to speak about this better than I am because you use the app quite a lot. Be Real. And like I shat on Be Real. I really did. So like
I remember that.
Alex downloaded it and I was
Sinead embraced it.
Yes,
she did.
I did.
I remember Alex downloaded it and I was like, that will be dead.
We were in a meeting when you said that.
Really?
You said that's not even going to last a month. And we all went, yeah, no, but it's not.
Yeah. And because I saw it as like, everyone wants to be authentic. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to it, you want to show the top 1%. You want to show your life as good as it can get. So what I predicted was people would upload late. People would make it look better than it was. Do you think that's the case?
I kind of do that.
Do you want to explain?
Yeah, there we go.
But sometimes you don't. Mm-hmm. I think what's really good about Be Real, like I've even seen like artists even using it.
Yeah.
And they're actually like people are publishing it on their social media. Mm-hmm. So they'll take what they posted on Be Real and like it's such a running trend at the minute to post it on other social platforms as well. So it's just literally going crazy everywhere. It was on SNL.
For those who don't know, what's Be Real?
Yes, so Be Real is an app that blew up over the summer. Literally, so it gives you a time once a day for everybody on the platform to post. So you take a picture of, well, it takes a picture of the front and the back camera at the same time. And then everyone just sort of uploads what they're doing at that exact moment. So it was really cool in the summer because people were doing loads of different things. People were on holidays, people were working and stuff. And it was just really cool to see what other people were doing at the same time as you. But yeah, I do think sometimes people use it late on purpose, but there's a sentence that everyone says is that, oh, that's not really that real though, is it?
Yeah.
But everyone always says that. I've heard that so many times. So yeah, that is a thing. But I do also think it's very authentic.
I kind of see it a little bit like Snapchat in a way of you have to have people, you can have it as like a private thing, whereas Instagram most people don't have private accounts. Whereas Be Real, you're following just friends, but you're starting to see more and more people using it as more of a platform to grow an audience and give your audience something a little bit more exclusive. So I can see it happening.
I do as well, because there's actually a discovery page on it, and it has been from the beginning. But I've just noticed, like, I will just get ads from random people all over the world, because you could, or not even just ads, like, people will react, because my profile's on...
Ads, you mean by people following you?
Not yeah, like ads, adverts. Sorry, yeah. So people following me from the Discover page, and sometimes there'll just be, like, random people in, like, across the world reacting to my Be Real, because my profile's on public. So you can actually interact with other people. But yeah, I've been getting a few followers from some random people.
So it can, really you can get discovered on it, yes, a bit like the Instagram Explore page or like TikTok For You page.
Yep, I do think it's going to grow in that direction. With the amount that everyone's talking about it, it could become something quite big.
I'll take back everything I said.
Are we saying now that this is kind of becoming the new exclusive club for artists where their most dedicated fans can go to see kind of behind-the-scenes content?
Yeah, I saw a, I think it was an ad on Facebook, like an advertisement on Facebook of a well-known artist, and it was like, I've won the best B-reel of today, and it was a picture of him at his concert, and then the opposite side was of the crowd. So, like, big people are using it.
And they're promoting it.
And they're promoting it, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something that we could see.
So if you wanted to grow your B-reel organically, is it possible?
I think so.
With the discovery page, with the discovery potentially, page. Yeah.
I think if you're an artist anyway and you have fans, and let's say you post a B-reel and then you shared it to your Instagram story, 9 out of 10 of the people that engage with you on your Instagram will probably go over to B-reel if they have it and engage with you on there as well, because they'll be able to react to your B-reels and they know that you've seen that. It's almost like a like on Instagram, but because it's not so saturated at the moment, they'll probably think, oh, they're going to see me react to their B-reel.
True. Also, for people that don't know, you can react to B-reels with another image.
Yes.
So I've done that with yours before. Yeah. I'll just react to a B-reel with your own face. So I guess that's really cool for fans to know that your favorite artist is kind of going to see you. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a like or a laughing face or a comment. It's an actual human reaction, which
that's
is quite
very
cool.
True. And that unique. Could be a hugely big incentive to go over. And, if you, because I hate those like follow for follow things, or I'm like going to follow some fans or something like that, because everyone knows it's an engagement bait. But for Be Real, I think, like you've just said, that could be huge, especially for artists who have an audience already. That's going to be huge, because if a big artist starts reacting to your B-reels, you're going to share it.
Yeah.
You're going to share it. So if there's an artist, obviously we are giving advice for independent artists and emerging artists, but for the larger artists as well, that's going to be huge. The first artist that takes advantage of that is going to blow up. 100%.
I remember who it was. I saw it as an advert and I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that. But I will say emerging artists and upcoming artists are using it as well. On TikTok, I've seen like artists, well, they're emerging, but they're like doing tours and support acts and everything. I think it's Thomas Heaton. He did the same thing with the Be Real, where he used a picture of him at a concert, well, at his him performing, and one of the pictures was him, and then the other one was the crowd, and the engagement on it was huge. It's a really big thing at the minute.
Yeah, and I'm also seeing a lot of fans in the audience. There's like a B-reel notification. Everyone's going nuts. Everyone's trying to give their phone to the artist and things like that. And if the artist gets involved in that,
Central
I think makes it so
that,
much. I'm pretty sure Harry Styles had it. It might have been Bring Me the Horizon or another rock band where someone literally chucked their phone on stage. They caught it, took the B-reel. Lewis Capaldi as well.
Lewis Capaldi did it.
Yeah.
And he started talking about it as well on one of his performances. He was talking about him taking his B-reel.
So he has it as well.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see if someone like him promotes his B-reel, because that would be a perfect platform for him. Like that platform was literally made for Lewis Capaldi.
Yeah, 100%.
So I can see that. In the podcast that we filmed the other day, we were talking about how Instagram kind of does 180s occasionally, and then like a 360, where it goes from being super polished, super, or like what, top 1% showing of your life, to then very raw. So we saw like those influencers on yachts. And then next thing you know, we have photo dumps. Mm-hmm. And then now it's looking a bit more polished on the feed again. Are you seeing that with artists more and like clients and stuff, where we are going down a different trend now?
Yes, I think we did go through this like weird period where people would just like zoom really close into something really far away. And they were like, this is so cool. This is so edgy. And it kind of was at the time.
It was,
But that was like what everyone's feeds were, as you said, with the photo dumps. I do think it's getting a little bit more polished now, because I think that's kind of done. Mm-hmm. But I mean, when you have, because they used to be really long carousels of just random pictures, but I'm still seeing people use carousels, but the first photo is always normally quite polished, and then the next one is maybe of their food or something like that. So I do think it's still there. But I mean, regards to videos and everything, I always feel like quality of videos, like let's say reels and stories, always comes out so much cleaner than other platforms. So I think when people are posting their stories, it's all very aesthetically pleasing and it looks really good quality all the time.
Yeah, I agree. Because if you think about people's Snapchat stories, that is still more just yourself. Whereas TikTok stories and Instagram stories are still quite polished and showing your best self and looking nice and making it aesthetically pleasing. I'm not entirely sure if that is getting more engagement, though.
I don't think so.
I just think we're kind of a bit stuck where we think that's what an audience wants.
Yeah, 100%. I think everyone always still says, like, once you're posting, like, something engaging, like, and doing polls and stuff, the difference in the views you'll get on that is huge. But, I mean, do people post a lot on TikTok stories?
Because so the only reason I'm seeing them is because I've followed people, especially artists, to see content that's doing well, and I'll see their stories. So for those who don't know, TikTok have introduced stories now. So when you follow someone, it will have a ring around their display picture like Instagram does, but also on your following page, it will integrate the stories within it.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
And then you can slide across to go through them. I've never seen anyone using TikTok stories like Instagram stories, though. So they're still using TikTok sounds. It's as if they're putting their drafts on TikTok stories.
Yes, I have a friend that does it all the time. But, yeah, it looks like it's just a normal TikTok, but it's like a draft, as you said, and they put it on their story.
Which I do get because you go on the app for a very different reason to Instagram. Yeah. However, I still haven't seen anyone using TikTok stories effectively, and I'm not entirely sure they'll ever be that effective. Because your purpose for going on TikTok is for entertainment, is for sometimes education, sometimes you're searching for something specific. So a story isn't necessarily going to work within that. Whereas Instagram, people are basically there to waste time so you can post whatever you want.
Yeah.
So we're talking about Instagram versus TikTok that are constantly battling right now.
Yeah.
Sinead, how are you finding the battle between, like, say, Instagram Reels and TikTok now? Because before it was all TikTok. Are you finding that TikTok is still the top dog, or are you finding that artists are getting more exposure on Instagram?
It's hard because I think with TikTok, I absolutely love the platform, and especially for artists, I think it's such a playful platform where you can kind of just do whatever and nobody really cares. If it doesn't get pushed out, people don't see it, it doesn't really matter. And like the whole making everything look so good is taken away. I have found that, like, at the moment, Instagram Reels are really, really just getting pushed out, though. Like, I've seen some artists post the same video on TikTok and on Reels, and the Reels will be getting, like, over a thousand, like, in the thousands of views. And then sometimes with TikTok, it's hard if you don't sort of get it right, like, the first few times. The reach isn't as big, but I don't know if that's just because so many people are posting on the platform that kind of content now. I do think it's still such an important tool to be, like, to be creative and everything and interact with other profiles, but I do think you do have to do it correctly. Otherwise you won't get pushed out
on TikTok.
I just feel like with Reels you can kind of post, let's say, a 10 second video of you singing two lines of a song, and it will probably get pushed out quite far, or use the trending sounds. I think Reels are really getting pushed out at the minute.
So it sounds like Reels has gone from being a bit of a copycat feature to actually being an incredible opportunity for artists, is what we're concluding.
Yeah, 100%. I think it was before, like, everyone's Reels feed sort of looked like TikToks from like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Now I just feel like they have a completely different look. As I said, with Instagram, it's very clean and it's a very aesthetic kind of looking thing, where TikTok, you can just kind of not really care about it too much. And I think you see that a lot with Instagram Reels now, and like all of these big accounts, not necessarily artists, all of the content is really polished and just like camera just in a night in good framing still and everything, even like the educational videos. But I think TikTok's really still a good platform to be authentic and, as I said, interact with other artists and duet stuff and stitch stuff, and you can just have fun with it a little bit more than you can on Instagram. But Instagram is super important at the minute.
Yeah, I agree with you on the whole idea of, like, TikTok now is very competitive.
Yes.
So when we first started talking about TikTok, two, 3 years ago now? I remember the comments were just people being like, TikTok's for kids, TikTok's for dancing, TikTok is a waste of time, China owns TikTok, so I'm not going on that. We had, like, people pushing back constantly. If you'd uploaded then, you'd be doing very well now.
100%.
Whereas now you're in a position where you're competing with, I would probably say, like hundreds of thousands of musicians on the platform. So the only way you're really going to get seen is if you're being different, which is 100%. Very hard. Whereas with Instagram Reels, because it's being pushed out more by the platform, I think you can be a bit more relaxed with it and not have to be as creative. You can just post what you feel comfortable with posting.
I think also a follower to me is worth more on Instagram as well, because you can do so much more with that follower.
Yeah, true.
So if your reel, say, gets 5,000 views on Instagram compared to 5,000 views on TikTok, what can you do with those views on TikTok really apart from another TikTok? Now you've got stories and you've got posts for your followers. You even DM your followers.
Yeah, that's what
therefore,
I was about to say.
Yeah, you can convert it more to a dedicated fan.
Yeah, I think the DMing thing is so true. So on TikTok, you can only DM if you follow each other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I get it because people have millions of followers on the platform, but I don't get it in a way of you surely want to engage with people without following them. So I think a key thing that artists can do on Instagram is once you get a follow, if you're in these early stages, DM them, just being like, cheers for the follow, really appreciate it. Or like, how did you find me? I really, really appreciate the follow. And that interaction, for one, is going to make the fan feel good. But for two, it means they're going to see your stories. It means your engagement's going to be a lot higher. Whereas with TikTok, if someone follows you, they may not even see your content ever again unless they go onto the following page or unless you've got more videos doing well.
The amount of people I follow on TikTok where I won't like sometimes even scroll through my following page. I like the TikToks you engage with most are the ones that you just see on your For You page. Mm. I think other thing with TikTok is these people, let's say that comment or that do follow you, they 9 out of 10 times, not everyone posts on TikTok that is just a normal consumer.
Yeah.
Whereas on Instagram, you can see kind of what your target audience is getting, because if you take a look at somebody that's liked or commented on your video, you can see, oh, what does this person like? What do they do? And you can kind of gauge with that. But I feel like with TikTok, a lot of people just don't even have a display name or a profile picture. So it's really hard to gauge with your audience. But I still think TikTok is such a good platform to get on. Mm. And you can even still just hop on it now you can really get pushed out with it, but you just got to get it right. Mm-hmm. And you just have to not care so much about it.
You said a couple of times, like, using it correctly and getting it right. In your eyes, what is using TikTok correctly? And Maddie, you can jump in as well.
It's a big question.
Yeah, it is a tough question.
I think it's such a good platform to do promo. So when your distributor puts the track onto TikTok, take advantage of that and do, I think you've spoken about it before, where you say, oh, this track's for the people that, oh, so-and-so are feeling this way, or or I wrote this song about me being da-da-da. For you guys to listen to. So it's so good for that, but just do not keep pumping that into it and like have no other videos on your platform. I think using the track, you're like doing promo videos with your own track on there with like days in the life and stuff like that, super cool, because people are really engaging with like aesthetically pleasing stuff. But I also just feel like artists really, really try and steer clear of doing covers, but it's just the way forward on TikTok.
I agree.
I don't understand why.
I think they feel like they're losing their creativity, or it's sort. I think because they associate cover artists with like not real artists, but there are artists that are absolutely massive, and some of their most well-known songs are covers. Like there are some songs that people don't even realize are a cover that are like the most popular songs. And I think artists need to get rid of their ego in that way.
Yes, 100%.
And just jump on it, and also, there may be a song that's trending that's not your genre at all, and you actually aren't even a fan of the song. You think it's badly written or whatever. You can change it entirely. You can change it entirely. I saw an artist the other day that took Doja Cat's most recent track and covered it in the style of Arctic Monkeys, and it was so cool. He created a new bass line. He wrote the guitar part and then sang it like Alex Turner did. And it was so cool. But if you go to his profile, you can see that actually that's kind of his vibe anyway.
100%.
So you're not watching that thinking, oh God, that artist is covering Doja Cat. Like, he looks stupid. Mm. It worked so well. And I think you're completely right with that, that covers are a great way to get pushed out just because people recognize it. They don't know you as an artist, so a cover's a great way to get in front of them.
Every big artist I've seen on TikTok, if you scroll down all the way, like, a few months back from before they've blown up or like they've released an album, every single video is a cover. Literally every single video. And I always use Peter McPoland as an example. He did a cover of Levitating by Dua Lipa into an indie folk song. Oh my gosh, incredible. Mm-hmm. So good. Literally was trending, went so viral on TikTok. He made a really like simple sync music video, which was kind of like a day in the life on YouTube, just filmed on his phone. Everyone went crazy for it. Now mm-hmm. he's literally flying. Mm-hmm. But people just hate doing covers. But I mean, I even like whenever you scroll through and whenever I see any artists I follow that are like sort of like that are getting there, have gone past that point and are, as I said earlier, touring or but they're still sort of at the beginning, they're still doing it. Mm-hmm. They any song that's on the chart, in the charts, like Harry Styles or anything like that, that they see trending, they'll just hop onto it and do like a 10 second cover or 15 second cover mm-hmm. and it blows up.
Yeah,
I just don't really understand. And it's why funny it's so as well because looked down on
BBC Live Lounge
is covers.
And like no one's commenting like, oh my god, as if Harry Styles is doing a cover, he looks so stupid. Mm-hmm. Because they're suddenly credible.
Yes.
I think what every artist is scared of is doing something they think is embarrassing and then it not doing well. Yeah. However, if you'd done that embarrassing thing
from the start
and it worked, you wouldn't be embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And that's so stupid because mm-hmm. you could very easily break from one of those embarrassing things. And if you're listening to this podcast, I keep doing like air quotations. but basically it's not embarrassing.
No.
Because it could work.
But going back to the technical side of things, if you think about how the algorithm works, it will retarget your audience if they've liked it. So they haven't followed you. But if you say get a million people viewing that cover, then your next three TikToks.
Exactly.
Are going to go out to that audience and mm-hmm. it's going to give you a shot. So if you get a viral cover, that's your opportunity. Your next upload is free advertising for your next track.
Literally.
Yeah, that's it. That's an important thing to mention. I don't think we've ever spoken about this before. The idea of what you do next after going mm-hmm. viral. And I think a lot of people will go viral and then maybe try to recreate that video or do something that's similar to that video. Whereas instead, this is your opportunity to reach those people again. You could do just something that's promo. Mm-hmm. You could do a cover, it blows up. Your next video is your own song. And it's being put in front of people that's like you said, free advertising.
Literally, I've used his name already. Thomas Heaton, he did a cover of Harry Styles. Mm-hmm. I forgot what song it was. He did a cover of Harry Styles' song. He's kind of in that genre of music anyway, which like follows Harry Styles. His fans probably like the same target audience. And his like two videos later, it was like it was a promo video with his track in the background, and then it said, "If you weren't able to get Harry Styles tickets, don't worry about it because you can pay £15 to come see me on my tour with his track in the background." Mm-hmm. And it was like that's just like as you said, like you can literally do a cover and then do promo, mm-hmm. sort of reaching the same target audience, and it will work.
Yeah, that's so true. One I think that hasn't really been spoken about much, but is again. Short form content is YouTube Shorts. Mm-hmm. I don't see many artists doing it. And if I do, it's often just a copy of TikTok content. And I don't necessarily think that's right. I think it's used for a different reason. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I just think that YouTube as a platform, you go on there for a specific reason. So the content does need to be quite different. But I do think YouTube Shorts is something that artists should be on, mainly because you can now monetize it, mm-hmm. which is very difficult with TikTok and Instagram. Like TikTok pays you absolute pennies. So I think YouTube Shorts are a way that artists can put out content which maybe wouldn't have fit into the long form content but can promote it. Are you seeing any artists or do you think there's any content that people can be doing specifically for Shorts?
So big in America, like literally mm-hmm. everyone uses Shorts in America. But I just think it comes down to that, like I feel like artists should be using YouTube anyway. Mm-hmm. I feel like they should, even if their long form content isn't like 15 minutes long, I think they should be using the platform for like, let's say, longer covers or like a sync performance or an acoustic performance of their own track. So I think what you can do with the Shorts is capture a new audience to again want to then watch those videos that you've already got on the platform. I think again it's just like you can post a cover, you can do days in the life and stuff, and you can talk a little bit more about yourself because it's a lot more of a personal, it's a very personal platform, isn't it, where you can do like long form videos where you're talking to the camera mm-hmm. and letting people get to know you a little bit more. But I just feel like YouTube as a whole should still be used. Again, people, especially for artists, you've got music videos, you've got live performances, post it on your YouTube and then capture a new audience by posting, let's say, a cover mm-hmm. And get new audience to come and watch the rest of your long form videos.
Different type of content for YouTube Shorts.
or do you just simply upload to YouTube Shorts?
I think the issue with posting from TikTok to YouTube Shorts is TikTok is so heavily trend focused.
Yes, you don't have to follow any trends or anything like that.
So the content that worked on TikTok wouldn't necessarily work on YouTube Shorts because the users are there for different reasons. So I think the trending stuff that you're using wouldn't work. But
I feel
the
like
content
maybe the
could
Instagram
be
Reels could then be put over there.
Yeah, I
could
see that.
I think they're like cleaner, looks nice, like all in good framing. And again, you don't have to, like, you're not adding on, like, let's say you pulled something from TikTok that, as you said, was a trend. Probably wouldn't work that well on YouTube Shorts, but maybe the stuff you'd post on Instagram Reels.
I can see that's sort of more
polished,
unique content that's fitting to you and less stuff that you think is going to go viral, because I just can't see that working on YouTube Shorts.
Can you bring in a new audience from YouTube Shorts then, are you saying?
Yeah.
You can. And how do you bring that audience in? Is it from tagging? Is it from your title? Is it being associated with other artists?
All of the above.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of just like let's say TikTok, like there's a discovery page on the home screen and everything. And, yeah, kind of through your titles, tagging.
Mm-hmm.
Just capture people's attention exactly the same way as YouTube. Because, obviously, we wouldn't say that you can break as an artist through YouTube long content alone.
Mm-hmm.
But we're saying today, YouTube Shorts, you actually can start using it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they really do need to sort it out and push it out somehow. So it might go the way of Instagram Reels,
where they really push it out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I 100% agree. Some channels that I follow, their most viewed videos are Shorts because it had an engaging thumbnail, an engaging title, and you only had to invest like 10 seconds into it, which is a lot easier to get views on than a full 20-minute video. So I think there's definitely opportunities for artists to be using it. It's just finding what your style is and finding how you can create on it. And I think that's always difficult on YouTube because some artists aren't very confident in the whole camera in the face thing, but you can do a different way of doing it. You don't have to put the camera down and speak to it or vlogs or anything like that. You can film the production of your track, which isn't so focused on you. And that can be interesting. Look at Charlie Puth, the whole light switch thing. You saw the production of the track. So I think that you sometimes have to get a bit more creative with YouTube over other platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So to finish off the podcast, we're going to take a submitted question, which we have prepared already, which is, I don't know who wants to answer it first, but how do I know who to work with? Example, managers, labels, marketing, that kind of thing.
Mm. It's a hard one.
How do you find them?
Well, I think the best people in the industry you will hear about through friends, from people on social media, I think they're the best because it's word of mouth, so it means they are good. There are some people that you're going to be able to find online through a quick Google and whatever that probably will be good at their job. However, if they're going out of their way to kind of rank on Google and push themselves out, it might be a situation where they're really looking to just make some money. So I think the most important thing is finding people that you trust, finding people that you get along with and think they're decent human beings, and being able to have a conversation with them and understand that it's something that's collaborative. Because you can't hire anyone in any side of your career and not be involved in some way. You need to have a relationship with them where you feel like you get each other.
So Sinead, obviously you speak with labels, management, friends and family who are just helping the artist. Is there any signs or red flags or anything that you've experienced in your time?
When you have someone very close to you managing it, like let's say a mom or a dad managing it, it can get a bit like it almost feels like the career is for them rather than
the
artist. Yeah, sometimes it's not that bad, but I feel like it just gets very emotional and it's just can sometimes be a bit of an iffy one. I see a lot of friends being managers. I think that sometimes works quite well.
Trust
or
them.
Like older brothers and sisters. I see quite a lot of, but other than that, I mean, the only times that it's difficult to work with people is when the only conversation you have is with the manager rather than the artist.
Interesting.
And I think that's super important to have that relationship, for an artist to have the relationship with their manager, where they're sort of on the same point of contact, where they both feel comfortable with speaking to whoever they're working with. So I think a sort of a good sign of having a good manager, being very involved in it yourself rather than the manager just taking the reins.
So you find it's a hindrance if you have that block there, the manager's like trying to protect the artist too much.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the artist isn't progressing.
Yeah, I understand if, like, obviously there can be very busy different stages in your career. I understand that manager would be first point of contact, but I think it's good to have some understanding of what the artist wants and have some conversation about it. Otherwise it does kind of, again, maybe just become the manager's campaign or the manager's career, you know what I mean?
I think I've actually heard you speaking to managers sometimes, and you try to get something passed on to the artist or suggestion.
Oh, and then
you say, this is going to work amazing. There's this amazing TikTok trend. And then they send it to the artist like a week later, or they don't fancy it for that artist.
Or it's pitched to them badly from the manager.
Yeah, yes. Rather than, let's say, like something we've sent over. But on the other flip side of it, we've worked with people where their managers have been super involved on the same level as the artist and have been a really good sort of connection between the two in the conversation. But there has been times, as you said, where we've sent something over and it hasn't gotten back to them until it's too late.
Yeah, so I think the main point from that one is just work with people that you can collaborate with and get on with and trust, because if they're doing it for the wrong reasons, it's not going to help your career at all.
I completely agree. And we will have on the members area, a complete list of approved people that you can work with. And we're going to create like a reviews area as well. Mm-hmm. So if you guys have any experience with people, whether it's bad or good, do submit them to info@burstamo.com, because we're creating a huge database of reviews for every single company.
And individual, like producers.
And individual, like, yeah. Because we hear so often people getting ripped off. Sometimes we'll do our own research and the artist doesn't even know they've been ripped off until we actually look at the data.
Yeah.
So important that you work with the right people. So anything that you have, we'll be creating it into one big database for all artists to access. And therefore, hopefully, we clamp down on the industry of people just being ripped off and working with the wrong people, because there's just too many out there.
Yeah.
Good place to leave it. Anything else?
Yeah, such positive to end it on.
Yes, absolutely. But you've got to cut to the...
The chit. Is that right?
I don't know.
Through the nitty gritty.
Yeah, right, we'll take that. That's so British, isn't it? Through the nitty gritty.
That's one of the worst ends to a podcast we've ever had, so we apologise for that one. But if you are watching on YouTube, subscribe if you're not already, drop it a like, and how do I do this?
Do you want me to say it?
Yes. No, because then it'll cut me if you want to.
Now what do we do?
Do you want me to end it?
Yeah. No, it's all right.
Okay.
So if you are watching on YouTube, drop us a like and subscribe, and drop us a follow if you are listening on a podcast platform.
Sweet.
I can cut that somehow.
Yeah.
If not, I'll leave this whole thing in.
Sick.